a little more deeply at the Word of God together. O Lord, may the words of your mouth to us, may the meditation of our hearts in your sight find a place to live and to bring life. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Awe, wonder, praise, mystery. The psalmist knew it when he looked up into the night sky. Anna and Simeon knew it when they took the baby Jesus into their arms. We know it whenever we take the time to notice the world around us and the greatest minds in the universe, well, certainly on earth, know it. As Einstein said, the most beautiful and deepest experience one can have is the sense of the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. He to whom the emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed. Worship is the invitation to open our eyes, to truly notice and see what is around us, to wonder and to surrender ourselves to God. As one of our great hymns says, lost in wonder, love, and praise. What do you see when you look up at the night sky? Or did you see the amazing lunar eclipse and the blood moon about a month ago? Are you amazed? Does it fill you with wonder? Does it bring you to worship God? I believe that wonder is the most basic and the most elemental heart of worship, that basic quality in worship. And this month, in our holy habits of worship, we are talking about wonder. When you're leading a service or putting a service together, it's very easy to think of just the component parts, the music. What shall we sing? Do we sing the ones we know or do we learn new ones? The prayers, what's going to fit the occasion and the congregation? All the things that make up a service. And the scriptures for the week. And it's easy to become rather pragmatic about it. But it's all useless if it's not grounded in worship and in wonder and leads us to express in words those things that are deeply on our hearts, the silence of our love and our worship. It might be in the scripture, it might be a line from a song, it might be a line from a prayer, it might be the giving of the offering that awakens in you a sense of wonder in the service. Can I encourage you to stay with that, to muse on it, to take it home with you, and let it lead you to worship throughout the week? We find wonder in nature, another one of God's books. When confronted with the vastness of the night sky, the psalmist knows his own significance. When I consider the heavens, the moon and the stars, the work of your fingers which you have ordained. Since I mentioned Einstein, let me give you a few astronomical figures. The magnitude of the Milky Way galaxy, let alone our universe, boggles the mind. To take a smaller example, if we were to scale down the size of the solar system so that the sun was the size of a tennis ball, the Earth would be the size of a grain of sand, 27 feet, about 8 meters away. I don't know how long the church is. If I stand here with my tennis ball, where do you think 27 feet is? 8 meters, what do you think, Peter? Here? I think it's probably a little further than that. Would be good to look at that. But that grain of sand 27 meters away. And if we think that is amazing enough, but then if we think where the nearest star is, the nearest star away from our sun, or the nearest star to the sun, would be more than 140 miles, about 200 kilometres away. I think that's about to Tauranga. And so this gives us something of the largeness of the size and the scale of the universe. We are a tiny grain of sand in that. So we can surely agree with the psalmist, not only when he wonders about the greatness of the universe, but also about who we are, about our part in it, about our insignificance. What is man? He asks before pondering further in wonder. Because he and we and all humanity are only a little lower than the angels. We are crowned with glory and honor. So insignificant and yet so significant. It reminds me of the story of Rabbi Bunim, who taught all of his students to carry two pieces of paper in their pockets. In one pocket, the piece of paper said, "I am only dust and ashes." The paper in the other pocket said, "For me, the whole world was created." When one is feeling too proud, reach into the pocket that says, "I am only dust and ashes." When one is feeling in need of encouragement and strength and inspiration, take out the paper that says, "For my sake, the world was created." When one is feeling disheartened and lowly, there is a word for us. We are significant and insignificant. Because this is the wonder. We have been given the charge to tend and care for and protect and nurture and steward creation, both the world that we see around us and the people who dwell in it. Hopefully, we're learning how to do this significant work better, because we have surely not always been faithful to the charge we've been given. And in our other reading from the Gospel of Luke, we move from the extraordinary wonder of the heavens, which lead us to awe and amazement and worship, to the story of a newborn baby who also brings us to wonder. Simeon. It's not hard to picture him, bent and wizened, leaning on his stick, eyes dimmed by age. He has waited for so long. Could this be the day? Simeon has been around the temple for years, looking for the fulfillment of the prophecy, the promise that he will see the Messiah before he dies. Here he is again, on this very ordinary day that seems like any other, until he notices the impoverished couple with the tiny infant. His body straightens, his eyes brighten, his step quickens. Alive with hope, he reaches for the baby. When Simeon lifts up the baby Jesus, he makes an amazing declaration. He is not only the past prophecy fulfilled, he also is the prophet, the prophetic voice of the future, that this tiny infant is the light of the world, the revelation of God, both to Jews and to Gentiles. He is the Messiah, the Savior of the whole world. And now, having his whole life purpose fulfilled, having seen the wonder with his own eyes, Simeon praises God and is ready to die in peace. He is content. The longing of his life is fulfilled. It is enough. Lord, now I can depart in peace. It's not only Simeon who watched and waited and wondered. Anna has waited even longer. Anna, the prophetess, is 84, and the first thing we learn about her is that she is a worshipper. She's worshipped for decades since she became a widow after 7 years of marriage, waiting and fasting and praying in the temple. Now she need wait no longer. Messiah has come. She recognizes the baby as the deliverer. She worships, and she becomes an evangelist, telling everybody who would listen that the redemption of the world has come. So what does all this say to us? Open your eyes and see. Even better, see through the eyes of a child. I don't know when we forget to stop and notice and look and wonder, but it's a quality that children have to teach us. We adults are often in too much of a hurry to wonder. I have a friend who used to take his little preschool daughter, Jenny, on a Jenny walk. It was her walk to go as quickly or as slowly as they wanted. And it was usually slowly, and it took a long time to go a few metres, because they would stop, turn up every rock, look at the beetles inside, underneath it. They would wonder at the seeds, at the bugs, at the flowers. Everything is filled with wonder to a child. Marvelling, delight, and wonder. So open your life to wonder. Find something wonderful and awesome and amazing every day, and stay with it long enough to let it bring you to worship God and God's greatness and his power. And let that awe lead you to surrender to God and his goodness and his love, because awe and wonder lead us to worship, and worship leads us to surrender. Because he is worthy of our worship, he is worthy of our lives. Surrender to him in love and in trust and obedience. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. So be it.